You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. From the bizarre world of the paranormal to the sinister secrets of the U.S. government, the Black Vault has become known worldwide as the premier spot for anything and everything conspiracy. Now, join me, John Greenwald Jr., as we dive into the research together in hopes to decipher these mysteries. This is the Black Vault Radio. That's right, this is the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. Thank you so much for making the Black Vault Radio your podcast of choice. Hey, look, I'm excited. I don't know if you guys have been following what has been going on www.blackvaultradio.com. I know many of you are listening via that player, but now the Black Vault Radio is being picked up by cool radio networks such as the Anomaly Radio Network and the Paranormal Radio Network and a couple other radio stations around the world, a new one in England. Details coming soon on that, but that just came about the last week. Well, since I started this, all you devoted listeners out there know that have been following me for quite some time know that it has been incredibly difficult for me to fall into that radio schedule where you guys knew that on Tuesday or Thursday or Sunday or whatever day that I chose to put up a show that I could never fall into it. I could never deliver. I don't know why. I just had the worst luck for years, literally a couple years doing this. And I apologize for that because in the last couple of months, there have been a ton of changes on my end. Finally, I'm able to do this. Actually, I would say in the last year, I've been able to do this. But my server capabilities, it was just maxing it out because there were so many of you devoted listeners. How cool is that? It's a great problem to have. But if I put up the amount of shows that I wanted to do, it would kill the server. So long, boring technical story short, thanks to you guys, I was able to upgrade the server. And now I have pretty much locked down a good schedule. It's been a little all over the map the last couple of weeks. However, I think I'm going to be settling in on every Tuesday and Thursday. A new Black Vault Radio episode will be delivered. Uh-oh, I said it on the air. That means I actually have to deliver. So Tuesday and Thursday, I believe that's the schedule that I'm going to be setting in. Want to make sure that I can really, really deliver that before I start advertising it to the world. So I'll tell you guys, which is only half the world. So that's okay. But in addition to the Black Vault Radio, when I was able to expand the radio network, because years ago when I created BVRN or the Black Vault Radio Network, my dream was to have a network of shows, not only Black Vault Radio hosted by myself, but a whole catalog of shows that you guys could download on demand. You know, because it's crazy. When you have a radio network, you've got pretty much two options. And the one that's out there right now that I see a lot, and this is just not in the paranormal world, but all over the place, is the radio networks. They just stream. You have a schedule during the day. If you're not available at that certain time, you really can't. There's no TiVo for podcasts yet, at least not that I know of. If you know of any, please write me, and I'll stand corrected. But there's really no TiVo for podcasts. And, you know, the problem with that is a lot of us, we're busy. We can't devote all that time to sit down at a certain time. So what I wanted to do was create a network of on-demand radio. You can download, this is episode number 40, 40 hours worth of the Black Vault Radio available to download. But also now a wide range of shows are available on BVRN, all on demand, just like I wanted, and it's now all available to you for free. And now I know that I was joking about the TiVo for podcasts. I know that some shows will archive their MP3 files, but a lot of times shows can't store more than maybe 5 or 10 or maybe the last 15 shows. And what I'm offering the hosts that are gracious enough to allow BVRN to syndicate their material, I'm offering that space for them to archive not 20, not 40, in some cases more than 100 hours of their archive, all for free, for you guys to download. And one of those guys that's cool enough to be broadcast on Black Vault Radio Network, Mr. Jeremiah Greer. He hosts Shadows in the Dark, which is now broadcast on www.blackvaultradio.com. You stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. There's cool music coming your way if you're listening on blackvaultradio.com. You may hear some commercials, but we'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. Joining me on the phone, host of Shadows in the Dark, a radio show that is now syndicated and broadcast on BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network, Mr. Jeremiah Greer. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And also wanted to say thank you because we are now syndicating your show, Shadows in the Dark, which is an excellent show. You've got a lot of good guests on there. I'm hosting a lot of your archive and soon to be the entire show archive that you have. So I'm looking forward to getting every show on, but tons of episodes to download already. And what's intriguing about you is you're not only just a radio host, you're actually out there in the field and doing investigations and very into this topic, which is always a plus. So let me pass it to you, Jeremiah. Tell me a little bit about who you are and what is it that you do.
All right. Well, yeah, just like you said, we have a group, a paranormal research group, and that's really kind of where everything started, with the show. It ended up leading into Shadows in the Dark. And, you know, we do go out mainly investigating like ghosts and hauntings. And, obviously it's because there's more out there than, it's easier to investigate. Let's put it that way. Whereas, you have a UFO sighting, it's pretty much, it happens and it's gone. And it's a lot harder to find that as it is hauntings and ghosts and things along those lines. But about, I'd say, around 12, 13 years ago, I had an experience about 14 years ago and really started getting into it about 12 years, about a couple years afterwards, in which I found I seen a UFO. And that really kind of sparked my interest into the paranormal. And I'd always kind of been interested in history, and you definitely hear a lot of people who do paranormal research. They're kind of history buffs themselves. There's something about the history that ties into it. All the mysteries of things like the Mayans and the Egyptians and dinosaurs and, mm-hmm. Things along that line seem to be some kind of segue to the paranormal for a lot of people. And I had my own experience where I felt I seen a UFO, and it just really amazed me. And a couple years afterwards, I really started digging into UFOs more than anything. And as it just kind of progressed, where I started getting into more and more aspects of the paranormal, which of course is a very broad topic itself.
Mm-hmm. So this one sighting is really kind of what sparked your interest in all of this.
Yes, exactly. And I'll briefly tell the story.
Yeah, so, please. That was my next question.
Yes, I usually get asked, what's the story? We had went down to Oak Island, not the famous Oak Island with the buried treasure that nobody can get to, but this is Oak Island, South Carolina, right up above Myrtle Beach. And we were, me and my friend, we were sitting inside watching a man's best friend, the movie about the rabid dog or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, his parents, I went down with his family. There was about 12 people, and we had a beachside house. Everybody had pitched in and rented out for the week. And so his mother come walking in, was like, you guys got to come out here and see this. And now his whole family, keep in mind, his whole family are big believers in UFOs, and especially his mother's just really dug deep down into it and researched it for a number of years. Well, so we went outside, and, you know, you had the little deck that you could stand out on. We were all looking over the beach, you know, she said, well, you know, there was some red lights dancing around the sky. She said, but they're gone now. Let's just wait a minute, and let's, you know, see if they come back. And sure enough, you know, about 5-10 minutes or so passed, and one little red light popped back up, and it come down towards one of the pier. And, of course, if you've ever been to the beach, and even on a, you know, a good moonlit night, you can see a pier a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this red light came down towards the pier that we could see off in the distance, and it sat there for maybe 10 seconds or so, and then just shot back up and disappeared. And, you know, of course, myself, I was trying to rationalize everything, say, okay, well, it could have been this, could have been that. And what really topped it off was, you know, maybe 5 minutes after, you know, that red light done that, about, to the best of our count, without feeling we duplicated anything, about 15 jets or planes began circling the area and circled for quite some time. And, you know, of course, you got to ask yourself, okay, so you have the red light and then the planes show up. You know, obviously not commercial airliners or mm-hmm. anything, were circling, obviously jets. So something happened there. And I think more than just some, you know, weird meteor changing directions, if you want to call it that, which is impossible itself. So that's what really sparked my interest to, you know, to actually see something like that take place.
Now, how old were you when this happened?
I was around 15, 16.
15, 16 years old. Now, what was your first... I've yet to see something, and it's always intriguing for me to ask people who have seen a UFO that really got them started, because people assume that about me. I've been in this field now for about 12 years or so, and really have dedicated part of my life, but yet I have no story to tell. When people tell me, hey, how did you get started? I really have no cool story like that. So the reason I'm asking is because my interest is just curiosity. This, for you, obviously this made an impression for you at the age of 15, 16, which I was 15 myself when I was struck by curiosity. What was it that you thought it was? I mean, when you saw all these military planes show up, were you in tune enough with the topic to say, hey, that must have been a UFO, look at all the military jets showing up? Or what went through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it did, you know, cross my mind that it was, you know, a UFO. And, you know, even though I had not really started, you know, getting, let's say, fully interested in, you know, on these different aspects of the paranormal, I'd always been a believer of possibilities. You know, and of course, you know, even at that age, you hear about UFOs and people talk about them and whatnot. So it was definitely something that crossed my mind. And like I said, his mother was also very interested in UFOs. And when, you know, I would come over and visit, she was always talking about them. And, you know, it took a while for him to warm up that she would walk in the room and here he is with his friend and she goes on about seeing a UFO. I mean, he used to kind of shoo her out of the room like, Mom, just be quiet. And, you know, I finally had to set him down and be like, you know, hey, I believe it's very possible. I said, you know, I'm not going to think your mother's crazy. but it took that experience to really, you know, I guess start taking it seriously and say, okay, there is something out there, you know, more than what we think we know.
Now, you can visit your radio show online, www.shadowsinthedarkradio.com. It's also syndicated and now broadcast on blackvaultradio.com or BVRN. But I wanted to ask you about another site that you run, because I'm sure this jumps ahead a little bit in your life, easternparanormalinvestigators.com. And it looks like you've got a group of people now that go out and investigate these sightings. So this UFO sighting that you had in your past must have made quite an impression, because now you're getting out there in the field. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you do?
Okay, well, the group started probably about close to 3 years now, and it was me and my friend, the one who actually experienced the UFO with me, and him and his family. Now, he's passed away now, but we started the group. We went out on October 31st of 2005. And, you know, to a cemetery to try to record some EVPs. And like I said, we'd always, you know, through those years been really interested in the paranormal and haven't really done anything to that extent. And
Now, can I get you to explain what an EVP is for listeners who may not be familiar with that?
Yeah, I sure can. Especially talking about ghosts and hauntings, when someone goes to a location, you know, take some kind of recording device, whether it be cassette, digital, you know, whatever means you've got, and they'll record themselves asking questions or just even silence, and sometimes. And what will happen is you go back and you listen to this audio that you've recorded, and you'll hear voices on it that you didn't hear while you were present or you know wasn't in the room at the time. A good example, say there's two males in a room, and you're just chit-chatting back and forth, and you go back and listen to the audio, and then there's a female voice present within that conversation, and it could say something off the wall, it can interact with the conversation, and even some cases answer a question that you've asked, you know, like what's your name, or how long you've been here, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a disembodied voice that's been recorded on some type of audio recording device.
Interesting. Okay. So you went to the cemetery to record this phenomena, or try to.
Right. So we headed out to a local cemetery and decided that, you know, we're going to give this a shot because, I mean, it sounded very simple. All you needed was a recording device, and, I mean, who doesn't have those?
Mm-hmm.
So we took off to the cemetery, you know, Halloween night, about 10 o'clock at night, and we stayed there for about an hour, and we told ourselves even on our way out that, hey, you know, we're not going to expect to get anything because anybody that, you know, investigates or deals with the paranormal will know it doesn't happen on cue. It's going to happen when it wants to. And so we're driving back home, and we sat down and started listening to our recordings, and, you know, sure enough, we had like four or five really good EVPs that, you know, an answer to a question like, what's your name, interactions with the conversation. So, immediately we were just like, okay, let's form a group. We talked about it, and now we can start learning more about going out there and doing things. And we started Eastern Paranormal Investigators. On that night, more or less, we started putting it together. So it's been almost 3 years now we've been doing it.
Wow, interesting. So let me ask you, how clear are these voices when you record them?
Oh, they can range. They can be very whispery, very low, where you really have to go in and mess around with the audio to kind of bring that volume up. And sometimes they can be clear as day, like somebody had the microphone right up to their mouth. Good. I mean, they really range, and they have classes. Mm-hmm. You know, like a class A is one that is very clear and distinct. You can pretty much understand what it's saying. So, you know, they do have the classes to rate each one in.
Interesting. Now, the last episode that we did here on the Black Vault Radio, I had John Nowinski on from the Smoking Gun Research Agency, and he was talking about some of the ghost stories. And these shows are obviously going back to back, but I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked him. It just would freak me out if I started hearing those voices or knowing that something was around me. Does it scare you at all?
It really doesn't. I have to say, though, the first time I'd ever heard about EVPs, I listened to them on somebody's website. And quite honestly, I sat there for 3 hours. I mean, these people have like pages after pages, and it's basically that's what their main part of their research is. It's just, you know, EVPs, which stands for electronic voice phenomenon, by the way. And I couldn't sleep that night. I seriously could not even hang my arm over the side of the bed.
Yeah.
Because it did. It freaked me out. But, you know, as you get more into it and you research more, it doesn't really seem to bother you to go back and hear them. I mean, it'll send a chill up your spine. I mean, no doubt when you ask a question, some voice you know wasn't there gives you an answer.
Right.
But now I've never really experienced anything at a location, never heard a voice or seen something appear. You know, and you can say, yeah, you know, I won't be scared if that happens, but you don't know until it happens. You know, that's really what's going to tell you how you're going to react.
Right, right. Well, now here's the million-dollar question of that night when you guys were in the cemetery recording these things, and you like you mentioned, got voices. What did they say?
One, we asked, what's your name? And the answer was, my name is Ray. At least we got Ray out of it. You could say Ray, Ralph, anything along those lines.
But full sentence like that. It didn't just say Ray. It said my name was Ray?
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
One of the other ones was, now it's kind of funny because we had seen a light up in the sky, and it was kind of moving weird. Didn't look like a star, didn't really like a plane. And, of course, you know, my friend was like, hey, that looks like maybe it's a UFO. And we started talking about the light, and then we somehow it turned into this about some of the ages of the tombstones that were there, and about UFOs that were reported back a couple hundred years ago and whatnot. And one of the tombstones was dated; it was 1760 something, I think it was. And,
wow.
We had made the comment, or he had made the comment, wow, that's hard to believe. And I said, yeah. And you can hear this voice coming over top of me. He says, yeah, that is right.
Wow.
And, you know, it wasn't him, and you know it wasn't me, because you can actually hear my voice, you know, mixed in with it. So, I mean, I can't speak two voices at one time, so it had to be an EVP.
That's scary stuff. You're listening to Jeremiah Greer right here on the Black Vault Radio. His show, host of Shadows in the Dark, is now available on BVRN or www.blackvaultradio.com. Make sure you visit Jeremiah online and his show and archive, www.shadowsinthedarkradio.com. And we're talking about his paranormal investigations. Kind of scary stuff here on the Black Vault Radio this week. Ghost across the board. And check him out online and his investigations at www.easternparanormalinvestigators.com. There's much more coming up right here on the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr., joined with the host of Shadows in the Dark, right now broadcasting on BVRN, Jeremiah Greer. Jeremiah, welcome back to the show. You're telling us some great stuff about your investigations into the paranormal and your time at the cemetery. You got this name of Ralph, then you see these graves that are from the 1700s. Did you search around for a tombstone? No, I'm sorry, I said Ralph, but you thought it was Ray, which could have been construed as Ralph. regardless of the name. Did you search around at the tombstones to see if, hey, maybe there was a Ray or Ralph there?
Well, we did that, and I looked at some of the names and kind of noted them, and we even revisited the same cemetery with success again, believe it or not. But we never seen anything Ray or Ralph. Now, you know, the way that the cemetery was set up is that the newer graves, of course, were down on the lower side beside the church, and where we were at was the older part of the cemetery, which was up on the hill. And some of these tombstones you couldn't even read. You know, for example, the one I mentioned about being around 1760-something, mm-hmm. the date was almost all you could see, and it was almost like it just had been riddled with, you know, best way to describe it as bullet holes. It just had all these little holes all over it.
Wow.
So, I mean, these were old tombstones and, you know, very worn by weather and, you know, just the elements themselves.
That's one of the best things, one of the best times that I've ever had in my life is when I visited parts of the East Coast and went to states like New Hampshire and neighboring states. And you go to those old cemeteries, and there's nothing like it. Now, I'm a California boy, born and raised, so we don't have stuff that old over here, at least not cemetery-wise. And so to go back east and to see that is just an amazing thing. You just kind of feel different out there, don't you? I mean, it just, and maybe I'm just crazy, who knows, but I just, you feel different. Let me ask you about video evidence in addition to the EVP phenomena. Do you guys investigate and or try and capture things on video or photographs when you're investigating in cemeteries or haunted places?
Yeah, we definitely do. We've got a huge range of equipment that we've purchased over the years. That includes video cameras, camcorders. We even use a high definition camcorder. We've got tons of digital cameras and even a security system, a 4-camera DVR that can record, with the night vision capabilities. And so, we set up all types of equipment and, try our best to catch anything we can because, like I said earlier, you never know when it's going to happen. So we try to cover everything with multiple cameras, recorders, whatever we can put out there, we're putting it out there. And, of course, we're also always trying to push some of the limits or experiment a little bit with some of this equipment as well because, I mean, nothing's solid in the paranormal. It's all theories.
Yeah.
And, there's no solid evidence. There's no saying, okay, well, if you do this with a digital recorder, this is how you're going to get EVPs. There's nothing like that. So you always have to continue to be creative. I mean, that's the big thing is try new things with your equipment, yourself, and what you're doing out there.
Now, how often do you guys go out and investigate the paranormal?
Well, it just depends on if somebody contacts us or if we get out there and contact somebody. And lately we've kind of been in the lull because the show has just really been taking off and it's taking up a lot of time. And we just had a meeting talking about some locations we wanted to go visit and whatnot. So it's, we don't, maybe once every couple months, sometimes mm-hmm. Two, 3 times. It just really depends on, how everybody's schedule's going and what we have going on. Outside of the group itself.
And that show is Shadows in the Dark, hosted by my guest today, Jeremiah Greer. Check him out online, www.shadowsinthedarkradio.com. Now, Jeremiah, is it only ghosts that you guys go out and investigate, or is it UFOs as well, or cryptozoology? What part of the aspect of the paranormal do you guys go out there with?
Well, it's mainly been ghost, and one of the reasons is because it is much more accessible. If somebody has a haunted house, well, it's usually going to stay haunted for the most part, or it's going to happen over the duration that the family lives there, if it's affecting them, or it seems that haunt stays with it. And I mean, many of us have heard of houses that were haunted, and those stories live on. But when you get into things like UFOs and cryptozoology, especially, somebody has a UFO sighting, and I mean, that's really about as far as you can go with it a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
There is limitation with that in cryptozoology. Okay, somebody's seen a Bigfoot, you can go out and look for some tracks and stuff. But with, hauntings and ghosts, you can really go in there and visit the location multiple times
mm-hmm.
and get stuff multiple times, not every time. So it's really the focus has been more on haunts and ghosts than anything else. And, it doesn't seem a lot of people around our area report UFOs and cryptids as much as they say, well, my place is haunted too. So that makes mm-hmm. a difference as well.
Definitely a fascinating topic. We're talking to Jeremiah Greer, host of Shadows in the Dark, now syndicated on the Black Vault Radio Network. Bottom of the hour already. It's flying by with Jeremiah Greer, but don't go anywhere.
Much more to come. Stay tuned.
You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr., joined with Jeremiah Greer, the host of Shadows in the Dark Radio, now broadcast on the Black Vault Radio Network, or BVRN. Check out his show archives online at www.blackvaultradio.com, and check him out online at www.shadowsinthedarkradio.com, and his paranormal investigation group, www.easternparanormalinvestigators.com. Now, Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining me here on the Black Vault Radio. It's great to have you on, and also great to have you part of the Black Vault Radio Network. Now, let me ask you about the specifics of some of your investigations. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We got the broad overview. What kind of investigations, what kind of places have you gone to in your investigations, and what kind of things have you seen?
Well, we've investigated quite a few different places. Well, you know, we mentioned cemeteries earlier, and most paranormal investigators is where they get their start. I mean, they're easily accessible. But we've also investigated historic locations as well as private homes. We're looking at here soon probably doing some businesses as well that claim to have some paranormal activity going on. But now some of these historic locations we've talked about was the one here locally, which is now, I can't say the exact name of the location, but it was mm-hmm. Waynesville, and it has to do with a lot of the family that really helped start up this area and whatnot. So, and that was a very interesting investigation, and some of what we got there was the first time, it was actually the first building, let's say, that we got to investigate, and we got some EVPs there that were kind of creepy, that I guess you could call them negative, telling us to go away, wow. You'll be next. Things along those lines, and I mean, clear as day, and so I mean that can give you a little bit of a chill when you.
Yeah, I would think so. Now I know you can't give the specifics, but just to kind of make a little bit clear, was this a house or a building?
It was a house.
It was a house. Okay, so people were living there with these negative thoughts going around.
Well, let me rephrase that. It used to be a house. Now it's been turned into a business, but used to be run as a bed and breakfast. It's changed mm-hmm. hands many times. So, but I mean, this isn't something you would call a business location in terms of, like, say, a strip mall or
gotcha. Okay.
You know, or something like that. I mean, it was a house of a prominent figure around the area. around the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, in addition to the EVPs, and I mean, let me back up before we get away from that. You Will Be Next was one of the messages that you got on your recordings. You Will Be Next. What do you think that means?
That's something we have thrown around ever since we've been there. And I mean, this, I mean, maybe around a year and a half, 2 years ago that this took place. And, we have yet to figure that out. I mean, it was a very raspy female voice that said this. And, I mean, it was kind of drawn out. And it just, it's like, gosh, I mean, what exactly are they talking about? And, of course, you can get into theories, that, it's a time slip, or it was a spirit or a ghost that was there, and they weren't really talking to us. They were talking to maybe other spirits that were there.
Mm-hmm.
You really can get into the theories. And so, I mean, it was kind of a, a spooky, chilling kind of EVP to get. Now, the other one that I mentioned, the Go Away, that one was the most interesting one we got from that location, because it's the first time and the only time that the way that we got this EVP has ever happened. And I've talked to others about it who have said that, they have not heard of it happening in this manner. And what that was we had, this was a three-story house, plus you have an attic and a basement. Now, we had a recorder on the first floor. We had two recorders. Let me get it right. We had two recorders. No, one recorder and a camcorder on the second floor, and a cassette recorder on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
And this Go Away EVP, we recorded on all four of those pieces of equipment.
Wow. At the same time?
At the same time.
Wow.
At the same volume. So it was almost like it had a presence throughout the whole house.
And that, that's a pretty amazing point, because some skeptics may argue, oh, it's static and you hear what you want to hear. And you may be, if you tell somebody, hey, look, they're saying go away, and you go, oh, wow, that, yeah, it says go away, but it could be like something in the static. That completely blows that theory out of the water if you're getting this on three separate floors and multiple pieces of equipment. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the points that we always bring up about it, because, you do hear the skeptics say, well, you just picked up a rogue radio signal, or you're hearing what you want to. It's static. All that kind of stuff, but you say, okay, yeah, well, we got this at the same time and, off of three floors and four pieces of equipment. Explain that one. I mean, did the radio signal come in and just bounce all over the place? Or,
yeah.
I mean, what went on there?
Yeah, that is very, very interesting. Now, did you catch anything on the camcorders?
No, we didn't. We have yet to capture anything that we consider video evidence. I mean, yes, we've had the orbs, and you'll find I'm not a fan of the orb. I say it's a case of mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about orbs, I mean, it's too iffy when you really get to them. So most of the times we just throw anything like that out. We did get one still picture of something that was, orb-like and was very different from all the others. But for the most part, everything else orb goes out. But, video evidence, nothing, yet over the years of any, apparition appearing or anything along those lines.
Interesting. I don't know what to think about those orbs either myself. I mean, when you see pictures and it looks like dust or just particles floating around in the air. But I will say, one time I went to D.C. and I was walking around Arlington Cemetery and came across JFK's grave. And it was pouring rain, which will tell, and I'm kicking myself for even saying it, but I have to, because I'm sure all the skeptics will say, aha, it's a raindrop, it's a raindrop. Well, here's the weird thing. I took probably 40, 50 photographs at Arlington in the pouring rain. Not a single orb in any of them, except one. And it was when I took a picture of the grave, of the flame, I took two pictures back to back. I want to make sure I have this right. Took one of the flame, and then there's a facility in the background, which I'm not entirely sure, and I'll probably mess it up if I try and remember exactly what this building is. But those of you who've been to Arlington, you know what I'm talking about, so please write in, because I'm drawing a blank. But I took a picture of that building, and there was, and so in essence, I was shooting over JFK's grave and the flame, and shooting this building, and there was this huge orange orb in the bottom right-hand corner of the picture. Now, I tried to think that it was the flame, but the way that the flame was wasn't even near it, and it was flames wouldn't reflect like that. I tried to figure out anything. I got tons of letters about it. I posted it online. I believe it's still in the image gallery. So anyway, that's my long, boring story about orbs. That made me second guess, like, maybe there is something to this, so who knows. But you're in the mindset that they're not really anything of interest. Is that right?
Well, I think for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe there is something to them, but I think for the most part, I mean, you go to so many, paranormal research groups, go to their website, and they've got orb pictures posted all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an overload. I think that many of these are, they're misidentified, that it is dust, it's moisture, it's a bug, because there's too much of it, I think. And, a lot of these we've even recreated ourselves, going and just rub the carpet like crazy and take a picture, and all of a sudden you've got a bunch of orbs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, it can be debunked. I mean, that's the thing. It's a very controversial topic because of, it can be easily recreated. The pictures are all over the place, and it's kind of one of those borderline things of okay, is something really there, or are we just having a bunch of pictures of dust?
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you, despite my fun story at Arlington. When I was actually lecturing at James Gilliland's ranch up in Washington State, we did an experiment late at night around the campfire, and we were taking some pictures, and in a couple of them we got orbs, and a lot of people were excited about it. So me and another young investigator that was there, he and I went a little bit away from the campfire, took a bunch of pictures, no orbs, and then he ran around like a madman in a circle kicking up dust, which was kind of a funny scene in itself. But then we took a few more pictures, and of course there were orbs everywhere, and it looks exactly like some of those pictures. So I do tend to agree with you. Let me ask you, what is out of your investigations, what are the biggest signs of evidence that you can't dispute, that you can't argue, that either you have maybe picked up in your investigations or maybe elsewhere that you've read about or heard about? What really sticks out to you?
Well, to me, it's the EVPs. I mean, that is just something that amazes me. And I mean, how in the world do you explain it? I mean, you can give a bunch of theories. The rogue weight radio signals, even somebody projecting it themselves. You want to hear something, so you kind of, the power of the mind. We don't understand the full power of the mind, and maybe we are projecting voices ourselves. But, you know for sure that you were, say, the only one in the room, and here you are, you're a male, and you've got a female voice. How do you explain that?
Yeah, you can't.
It's very hard to, and, the more we get some just very interesting, EVPs, the more you scratch your head and say, how? What in the world is going on there? And how do you even prove what is going on there?
Have you ever had a moment in an investigation that just made you stop and maybe the hairs on the back of your neck stood up? Is there another investigation, or have you kind of gone through those already?
Well, no, I've never really had anything that, say, gave me a chill during an investigation or, maybe frightened me a little bit. Because we've never had anything just crazy happen, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some interesting noises take place, and of course the EVPs, you go back and listen to them, give you that chill, but nothing really, that says, wow, what in the world just happened there? Nothing like that yet.
I see. Now, do you find a common thread through some of your investigation sites? Because obviously you get phone calls or you get letters from people saying, hey, my house is haunted, or this building that I work at is haunted. Do you see that most of the buildings are older, or they're maybe newer, or are they, in investigating, you find out that they're built on a Indian burial ground? I mean, is there some kind of common thread that you see, or can these hauntings and encounters with spirits really take place anywhere?
Well, I feel they can take place anywhere, and they do, but for the most part, I think you really get into a history of the location, and a lot of times it does seem to be older buildings that have a lot of emotion or energy tied to it, if you want to put it like that, because that's most of the locations we've been to, and that history may be, bad, or it may just be that, there was a lot of even positive energy there can create a haunting as well. I mean, it may not, be one that taunts somebody. It may just be they hear voices and noises.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems more, for us that they're which is one of the things we always try to dig into when we go to a location, is the history. Who's lived there? What's happened there, you know, in the past in this location?
Of the EVPs that you've recorded and the investigations that you have done, do you find that there's more negative energies or positive energies, or really is it just indifferent, they're just energies?
Well, we've, especially with EVPs, like I said, the only ones we consider negative, you know, were those two, the go away and then you'll be next. Other than that, we've just had interactions with the conversation, an answer to a question, and nothing seemed to have any kind of negativity to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, again, you know, you're getting into, you know, is there positive and negative energies out there, or, you know, angels, demons, that, you know, that whole kind of controversy back and forth on what exactly happens to a person when they turn into spirit. If they're a bad person, are they an evil spirit, you know, mm-hmm. or do they turn into good? So, you know, for us, for the most part, we've seen the God more along the lines of positive stuff than negative.
Let me ask you, if you don't mind me getting a little bit personal, is there a religious aspect to this?
No, I wouldn't really say not a religious aspect, because I've always had a belief in a higher power, and mm-hmm. that we weren't a freak accident. I think it's more of curiosity and just that amazement of the things that we don't know that are out there. I mean, there's so much that is out there that we have no clue about, and I think this is definitely one of the ones that are, you know, on the top of that list when you get into the paranormal, because it's so hard to bring forth concrete evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You just continue with more theories. That's all that really, you know, keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that curiosity of what is really going on and with a haunting or a UFO sighting or a Bigfoot sighting. What is the real answer to that?
Mm-hmm. The reason I bring that up and ask that is because, you know, what really comes to my mind, I don't know what to believe behind all of this. I've never seen anything that was just 100% confirmed in my mind, although I have had some interesting stories to tell and some interesting encounters with my girlfriend, which I just mentioned earlier this week on the Black Vault Radio with John Nowinski at the Whaley House in San Diego. And the reason I ask is because I'm wondering if these spirits are trapped here, or if you have any thoughts on that. If they're here for a reason, is this just kind of the term I'm looking for, that they're just kind of here until they pass on to another life? Or I'm just kind of curious if you think that they need help passing on, because I know that there's some investigators and researchers out there that believe that they need a helping hand to get to the other side. And so that's where I was going with that question. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard of many cases where someone comes in, especially in terms of like psychic and mediums that claim they can communicate with spirits or the dead. And, you definitely hear the cases where something, you know, they come in and they spoke with them and then the problem, you know, goes away. So I think there's some validity to that. Now, we've not personally had something like that happen ourselves. That's a tough one to answer, because, I mean, I'm still alive, so I don't know what's on the other side and what happens.
Right.
And I've yet to have an EVP of someone give me a 15-minute lecture, you know, from the other side on what's going on. So, you have to kind of go with what others are saying that claim they can communicate with spirits. And if you believe in that, too, that they can, and some of what they say, and there is that, definitely there is a strong belief that many of these spirits or ghosts, you know, need help to move on, that they're being held back by, you know, sometimes, they want revenge, or they don't realize that they're dead and they're waiting for someone to come home. Or, I've heard many stories of why some, you know, spirit was still hanging around. I mean, the list is just enormous.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any wants and desires and goals for your investigations? I mean, this obviously takes a lot of time and financial resources that we all put in our separate investigative niches. What's your ultimate goal?
Well, we started all really to, help expand the knowledge of the paranormal. And one of the reasons why we ended up doing the show as well is to just continue, you know, that interest to keep it out there, keep it going, keep people interested, because I think it is important. And, you know, when you really look at even the past, things 100 years ago that would have been considered paranormal are common knowledge now, are accepted things. I mean, gosh, you would have said, 150 years ago, well, I'm going to create this computer and it's going to do this and that. You would have been called crazy and that something like that was impossible. And it would have been categorized as paranormal, but now everybody has a PC. And, so I think it's important that we continue to definitely keep diving into the paranormal and, all those mysterious things that surround us and trying to gain knowledge from them to better ourselves as a society, as a race, and better our lives.
Great answer. You're listening to the host of Shadows in the Dark Radio, now syndicated on the Black Vault Radio Network. Check it out online, www.blackvaultradio.com, or check Jeremiah out at shadowsinthedarkradio.com and his paranormal investigation group site, www.easternparanormalinvestigators.com. We'll be right back here on the Black Vault Radio with Jeremiah Greer. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr. We're finishing up with the host of Shadows in the Dark Radio, a fantastic show now syndicated on the Black Vault Radio Network, Jeremiah Greer. Jeremiah, it's been a fascinating hour. Ghosts have always been a long-time fascination for me, mainly because I don't know much about them, and I believe that's evident. So thanks for thank you for answering all my questions, because I'm learning myself and always interested to have these investigators on like yourself to help me better understand the phenomena. Now, Shadows in the Dark Radio, tell me a little bit about that so my listeners can understand exactly what you do on the air and what kind of guests do you have.
Yeah, sure will. Now, Shadows in the Dark has been around for almost a year and a half now, and I have a ghost group where we focus more on ghosts, but that is not what the show does. We are a very diverse show when it comes to the paranormal, the unexplained, and we cover so many topics. I mean, from UFOs to conspiracies to ghosts to the strange and weird. I mean, it's a very diverse show. We're always doing something different, and we broadcast twice a week. We are live twice a week, and of course syndicated now on Black Ball Radio Network, which thanks very much for that.
Absolutely, good to have you aboard.
Yeah, so we try to get some of the best known guests that we can, and even the unknowns. That's one thing that we really love doing with the show, is bringing on people that you just may not ever heard of, but they have so much to say about whatever their specialty is or their research is all about. And we always find those shows seem to go over a lot more than having the big names, because it gives that whole different light, that different perspective on something that you've heard for so many years from one particular person.
Do you have an interest that really kind of trumps all others? Is it ghosts, or is something else that you talk about on the radio kind of your specialty, your one like in this field?
Well, that's tough for me, because I'm a person that has so many interests that sometimes it's way too many, and I don't have the time to dig into all of them. And I enjoy every single show, because one of the things that we always do with our show, I think that sets us apart from many of the ones that are out there, not all of them, but many of them that are out there, is when we have a guest on, if they have a book, we read the book. And that way we can ask intelligent questions and keep on track. And definitely make the guests feel appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And, so doing that and having such a diverse show, well, one week I'm reading about strange and weird things in Florida. The next week I'm reading about UFOs. And so, my own interests are fueled, and as well as my knowledge is continuing to increase on all the aspects of the paranormal.
Sure is a fun job, isn't it?
Oh, man, I love it. I love it.
The show is Shadows in the Dark Radio. You can check the show, I'm sorry, you can listen to the show live at www.shadowsinthedarkradio.com. Jeremiah, if I have this right, it's Thursday and Sunday night?
Yep, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time and Sundays at 9:30 p.m.
Great. And Jeremiah is gracious enough to help me out in keeping my archive up to date. After it broadcasts live, it is then archived to blackvaultradio.com and kept as long as that site will survive, and I hope that is decades to come. So you'll probably be on, how many shows do you have now? You're 105?
Yes, we've done 105 shows.
105 shows. I don't have them quite all yet, but I plan to. So make sure you check out Jeremiah's archive, www.blackvaultradio.com, and him online, Shadows in the Dark Radio.com, and his investigative paranormal group, Eastern Paranormal Investigators.com. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining me here on the Black Vault Radio. I'm guessing those websites have some contact information for you.
They sure do. They have email addresses and maybe even phone numbers. I'm not sure what's all up there.
Fantastic. And if you're listening via the blackvault.com or blackvaultradio.com, I will have Jeremiah's contact information right below the link that you clicked on. So make sure if you want to contact him, drop him a letter and let him know what you think. Jeremiah, thanks again for everything.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time here on the Black Vault Radio. We'll see you next time.